You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Okay, okay, okay.
We're back.
On this fine Monday, we're late. Part of it, boys and girls. And, listening to football on the radio is back. Said what I said. Man, it's going to be an interesting one today, man. We got the worst defense in NFL history right in Cincinnati. The worst in history. Shedeur Sanders gets his shot against the Ravens in what seemed like an important game. Any AFC North game is important. The Bills roll against Tampa Bay. The LA Rams stifle an impressive Seattle team. And much more on today's show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We had week 11 of the NFL this weekend. Week 12 of college football. And admittedly, I am checked out as a professional football fan. I have gone from anger to apathy with these Cincinnati Bengals, and I think a lot of fans are starting to feel the same way. I didn't even watch this game. I cannot subject myself to the Cincinnati Bengals anymore. I don't know when the next time I will be able to. I'm not going to watch another game all season. And I was force-fed the highlights of this Bengals game in a Mexican restaurant in Palm Desert, California, this Sunday. I was subjected, and the first clip I saw was Darnell Washington bullying rookie linebacker Barrett Carter to the ground, run through a disgusting tackle attempt by easily one of the worst safeties in the league, Geno Stone, who continues to be run out there at safety for Cincinnati, even though the captain of the defense, Logan Wilson, was benched and traded. They continue to run Geno Stone out there. A miserable tackle attempt by Geno Stone on the same play, right after Barrett Carter was shunned to the ground. Those two things are interchangeable. And then one more for the boys. One more for the big Clydesdale horse of a tight end, Darnell Washington for Pittsburgh. Just running right through DJ Turner on the sideline to finish the play. And that was the first clip I saw. It's really nice to see fans in the chat whose teams are good. They're enjoying their season as fans. Cincinnati fans do not have that same privilege, and I fear that they never will. What a disgusting, embarrassing, deflating state that this Bengals organization is in after having Super Bowl expectations this offseason and last season and every season since they made it to the second place on the mountaintop in 2021 when a blind squirrel finds a nut. It's so deflating, brother. I did not watch. I'm glad I did not watch. Apparently, Mason Rudolph comes in the second half. the backup quarterback for the Steelers, and the Steelers still managed to get 6 yards per play in the second half. Everyone at this point in Cincinnati is completely numb to the futility of this defense, of this head coach, of these coordinators, of this de facto GM in Duke Tobin. They're sick and numb to this ownership group run by people who have no sort of accountability to anybody. I can't remember the last time I saw Mike Brown or Katie Blackburn or Troy Blackburn behind a mic. And I don't think that they will ever get behind one, because they know that they're just in this for the ego trip and the profit. And that is it. You got owners like Carly Ursay Gordon down on the sideline every game with a headset on, monitoring the play calls because she doesn't want to overpay a guy on the coaching staff who doesn't know his shit. She's getting behind the mic and talking to the media. And one thing we've got to do better in Cincinnati is our media has to start asking tough questions and tougher follow-up questions. There's no excuse. The media in Cincinnati has not done a good enough job of holding these incompetent clowns' feet to the fire. It would be one thing. I was thinking about this. It would be one thing if it was a normal family business that had maybe come across some fortune, but then kind of got complacent, and the business continued to generate revenue, but it was stagnant in itself. I'm talking about a normal, everyday business right now. What's different between, and that's fine. I don't condone complacency. I don't condone stagnancy, if that's a word. I don't condone any of that shit, but when you're running a normal, everyday business, you can kind of get away with it, at least in regards to the responsibility you have. Because with a normal, everyday business, your responsibility is to make sure the revenue is being generated so that you can put food on the table for your wife and your kids, because those people you do have a responsibility to. When you're running an NFL organization, the responsibility is a bit different. You're not just responsible to your kids anymore. You're not just responsible to your wife or your uncle that had a hard time with fentanyl back in the day. And if you don't take care of your uncle, he's going to be on the streets. You know, it's not like that. When you're running an NFL team, your responsibility is to the city. We talked about this so many times on the show. These football teams serve as the cultural fabric for cities like Cincinnati, for cities like Pittsburgh. If this was going on in L.A., wouldn't be a big deal. Wouldn't be a big deal because they got the beach. They got legal weed. They got, you know, the San Jacinto Mountains. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got to work. Like, that's football is not part of a cultural identity in a place like that. Cincinnati, though, it's a lot different. And time again, this Brown family, this Blackburn family, they have continually disregarded that responsibility, and they continue to. The only thing that the Brown family should be doing right now is writing a letter to the Cincinnati Bengals fans apologizing for their continued incompetence and their continued underachievement. That's all they should be doing right now. They're the first people that should be doing that, and they're the last people that will be doing that. Robert Kraft did it in 2023 when the Patriots only had 4 wins. He wrote a letter to the New England Patriots fans saying, "Patriots fans, I apologize for this team. We have to do better. We are a winning organization. We have to find the right people to carry out the job that I know needs to be done here in Foxborough." Look it up. The Brown family will not do that. And even if they did do it, you think those words would be backed by any real action? New England Patriots are 9-2 right now, I believe. They had 4 wins in 2023. And Robert Kraft writes an apology letter to their fans. And then they hire Vrabel, and it's turned around. They did what they needed to do. This family, the ownership family of the Cincinnati Bengals, is a complete embarrassment. Look, I was against it. Oh, and by the way, before I forget this, if any continued listeners of the show are on here, you guys will know that we went live on TikTok. This is totally unrelated. I'm going off on a side road here. We'll come back to what we were talking about. But if you were watching the show on Thursday or Friday, you would know that we went live on TikTok for the first time on Thursday. And we did it again on Friday. And this is to show you what a pussy ass platform TikTok is. You know, they're probably thinking, anybody who's a goyim, let's get rid of their their live privileges, because, you know, we don't want them making any money. You know, I made 35 cents or something on there. First real money I made off this show. But I go to click live today for the show, and lo and behold, two shows on TikTok, and our live access is now revoked. Yes, we're going to control them all. We're going to make sure they're on their best behavior. I run Oracle and TikTok. 35 cents, that's too much to pay out to a goyim. You know, so that kind of pissed me off. We got to figure that out. But there's not going to be any more in the jar on TikTok. That's my point. We're going to try to get the live access back from the powers that be. And we'll just play Madden on there or something. I might not ever get it back. You know, that's a good chance to make money. I was kind of pissed about that. But, you know, blame goes on me for trying as a straight white man to talk about football live on TikTok. That's on me. I ran about the Brown family every Monday. I ran about the Bengals organization every Monday. And still, to this moment, the only thing that's changed since the clock struck zero on Sunday is that Ja'Marr Chase is suspended for this week's game against the New England Patriots. It's going to be... Look, man, when your fan base is apathetic before you're even done picking apples, before you've really even had the first snow of the year, you've done a piss-poor job. And I've been saying that the Bengals have been doing a piss-poor job since last year, since the Commanders game, That was in September of 2024 when the Commanders came into Paycor and the Bengals did not get a stop the whole game. I've been talking about this since September of 2024. There's a cycle of emotion with disappointing franchises. It goes from anger to apathy. And it's gone from anger to apathy real quick for Cincinnati fans. The anger for me started after that Monday Night Football game in September in 2024 when the Bengals could not stop the Commanders for one singular series. That's when the anger started. The anger for me as a Bengals fan continued throughout, obviously, the 2024 season. Watching the Bengals have the NFL league leader in sacks, the NFL leader in passing yards and NFL passing touchdowns in Joe Burrow, and a triple crown receiver in Ja'Marr Chase, and they missed the playoffs. That was anger for me. That was maddening for all of our fans. But I feel like in Cincinnati, we've got, and I don't think we have it anymore, but I think last year we had a lot of apologists in the crowd. We had a lot of people saying, well, you know, the wind was blowing a certain way, and we just didn't get it done at the end. But this team's showing a lot of promise. We just got to give them time. You know, I feel like there are a lot of fans like that. I was angry right away. And I don't mean to say, hey, I had it figured out before all the rest of you guys, but I kind of freaking did. I was pissed. And I think that anger turned into apathy. When your fans are apathetic, especially when they're apathetic before you're even done picking apples, it's a bad situation for the organization. And I hope this organization feels it. I'm not going to watch another. I don't know when the next time will be when I watch another Bengals game, when I sit down, when I have not just the desire but the courage to sit down and watch another Bengals game. I don't know when that's going to be. It's not going to be this season. In the second half of games, let's read this tweet from Paul Danner Jr. He says, I know everyone is numb to the Bengals' historical defensive futility by now, but I wanted to trot these out. They have been especially historical in the second halves of games this year. They are the worst defense this century after halftime in all of the below categories. But it's not just that. It's the healthy distance between them and the next worst team. It's truly incredible. Second half of games since 2000. Okay, he made it sound like it was 100 years. It's 25 years. EPA per play. Cincinnati comes in at number one as the worst team since 2000 in pro football at negative 0.26 EPA per play. The next worst, minus 0.23. The NFL average in that time span has been 0.01. EPA per drive, Cincinnati also tops the list. Points per drive, Cincinnati tops the list. Touchdowns per drive. In the second half, the Cincinnati Bengals have given up a touchdown in the second half roughly 40% of the time. Almost half of any drive that comes in the second half against the Cincinnati Bengals defense ends in a touchdown. Think about that. I don't know how these guys sleep. This is their job. This is their life. They've worked their whole lives They worked their whole lives on shit like this. Defensive success percentage. What is? I don't know what that means, but Cincinnati's also worst in that since 2000. Why can't we get a guy like Kirby Smart running this team? Why can't we get a head coach like that that talks about players? Here's what Kirby Smart said. He said, Kirby Smart said this, and I guess in a presser after the game, after Georgia played Texas on Saturday. A lot of these kids want a check. They don't want physicality. If you have the check and no physicality, you end with nothing. You're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people. And he later went on to say that he's happy to let any kid go who doesn't want to be a part of a physical football team. They will sign the papers. They'll send him away. And furthermore, you know what they do over at Georgia once that happens? They figure out where that kid's going. Because it's probably a less physical place, probably a less physical football culture than theirs, and they go out of their way to schedule them. This is the difference between people who have success in this game of football and people who do not. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, go into YouTube after this episode's over and type in Darnell Washington stiff arm and see what comes up. It's disgusting. It's abysmal. It's an embarrassment to the city. The people of Cincinnati do not deserve it. But now I'm starting to think what really could change. Nothing's changed, and I'm not sure if it will. Shedeur Sanders played for the Browns. We're running low time today. That's on me. I take full responsibility. I was late getting live on here today. I am going to have to run to jiu-jitsu here in about 8 minutes. So we'll try to speed run everything else that happened. Listening to college football on the radio is very quickly becoming one of my favorite things to do when I'm out driving. I was listening to that Texas A&M 27-point comeback against South Carolina. And I love listening to the local broadcast. I love listening to the Aggies broadcast or the Gamecocks broadcast because those guys can be unabashedly biased. And when you have a little bit of that bias in a broadcast, it brings so much more emotion and excitement. And also, I like listening to football games because it helps me visually put together what I think is going on in the game. It prompts you to be a bit more creative than just seeing it right in front of you. But I listened to the Texas A&M comeback on South Carolina. That was electric. I listened to Alabama losing to Oklahoma. What a game that was. It was the first time that Alabama had lost at Bryant-Denny Stadium in 17 games. Dating back to 2023, I believe. Alabama just struggled turning the ball over. That's all it was. They lost a turnover battle. It was a close game. But they were just putting the ball on the ground way too much. I think they put the ball on the ground 5 times. They fumbled it 5 times. They didn't lose all of them. And then they had a pick six. Anytime you have a pick six or the defense scores, your chances of winning, especially in the college game, especially in the pro game, are reduced drastically. And by the way, the Bengals gave up 2 defensive scores against the Steelers defense. I listened to a bit of the Ole Miss versus Florida game. I ended up going to a bare knuckle fighting event in Palm Desert, California, Saturday night. So I missed some of that Ole Miss Florida game, and I listened to a bit of that Georgia versus Texas game. But yeah, another game I listened to was, and I was out on the road all weekend. That's why I was just listening to these games. But I think I might just listen to them even when I'm not on the road. That's how much I enjoyed this. I listened to the Browns-Ravens game. Shedeur Sanders got his shot. You got all these people who are clearly just interested in furthering racial narratives for whatever reason on Twitter, defending Shedeur for some reason, even though I don't think he needs to be defended, and I think it's really starting to become a bad look for Sanders, and it's not even his fault. You know, you got Josina Anderson or whatever her name is, just saying some dumbass shit on Twitter. And maybe she's rage baiting, maybe she's engagement farming, but just saying some dumb shit on Twitter. I think, and I listened to the call on the play that this Josina Anderson tweeted a video of. It was a great play by Jerry Jeudy. He runs an out route. Shedeur hits him about 2 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and Jerry Jeudy jukes a couple times. I think he spun, made a great play to get the first down. And Josina Anderson, this stupid idiot, saying what a great completion by Shedeur Sanders. I mean, it makes him look bad, and it's not even his fault. The narrative on Shedeur Sanders is very, very interesting. Oh, he didn't get to take reps with the first team, and that's why he wasn't able to complete the game. That's why he wasn't able to complete an upset win against the Ravens, because he didn't have reps with the first team. If you're a quarterback in the National Football League, you got to take mental reps. You got to be ready regardless of if you've gotten a single rep with the first team or not. My head coach in college used to always say this: you better be ready when your number is called. You don't know when that'll be most of the time, but you better be ready. And Shedeur was battling uphill the whole time. Let's be real. Like, that's a really tough ask to throw him in that situation and expect for the, 3-8 Browns to get it done. I mean, against a hot Ravens team, too. Apparently, Shedeur didn't shake hands with Lamar after the game. That's... we got to set our ego aside, man. We got to be sportsmen at the end of the day. I thought that was pretty ridiculous. And I do have to go, guys. I really apologize. I was late. It's totally, totally on me. Jamar Chase, he's going to be out next week. He spat on Jalen Ramsey, lied about it. And then a Cincinnati reporter is the guy that leaked the field-level footage of it. Ridiculous. Keep it to yourself, bud. Cost Jamar $500,000. And I think Jamar's going to miss out on some stipulation in his contract based on this suspension that'll cost him $50,000 a game for the rest of the year. So how many games we got left? 3-7. You got 7 games left. $50,000 times 7 is what? $350,000. So this incident will cost Jamar Chase, from my understanding, $790,000, almost $800,000. $800,000 loogie. And he lies about it. And then he's outed by a Cincinnati reporter. You cannot make this shit up. You cannot make it up. And that Eagles game, by the way, ended last night. The Eagles-Lions game, I listened to that as well. Ended in a bullshit pass interference penalty on Rock Ya-Sin. The NFL's got to investigate the favorable treatment that Philadelphia gets from the referees. It's absolutely abysmal. Everything about all my feelings around pro football now, if I had to put it into a word, it's abysmal. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep listening because obviously we cover it on this show. As a fan of the Bengals, I'm devastated. I'm apathetic. I'm angry. And all we can do is talk about it. All we can do is try to have people held accountable. so that they show up and do their job, just like we do on this show. We don't have to do this show, but we love doing it, and that's why we do it. We show up, we work hard for you guys every day, and that's exactly why if you're watching this channel and you haven't subscribed yet, you need to, or else don't let your ass hit the dough on the way out. At least hit that like button, or I'm going to find you and talk in your ear. You know what I'm saying? I got to go to jiu-jitsu, guys. Again, I was late starting the show. It's on me that we have a short show today, but we will be back tomorrow and every day, every weekday for the rest of ever around 6 Eastern. You can listen to us on audio platforms. You can find all replays on the channel here, on Twitch, on Kick. You can find Madden streams here and there. I'm going to try to figure out the TikTok situation. We do two podcast episodes on TikTok, and all of a sudden our live access is revoked. It's absolutely ridiculous. But you got drag queens on there talking about the patriarchy day in and day out. We're actually bringing valuable, real content to you guys, and we do two episodes live on TikTok, and we get our live access revoked. It's absolutely ridiculous. The state of things is absolutely ridiculous, but we're going to keep showing up. We're going to keep grinding. We're going to keep speaking the truth and being the realest show on earth, the fastest growing football show on earth, and I want you guys to be a part of it. So if you're watching for the first time, we are ending today's episode, but we are live 6 Eastern every single weekday, and I need you guys to subscribe. You wouldn't be here unless you liked football. The algorithm wouldn't bring you here, and if you like football, you're going to love our channel. Hit that subscribe button. I got to go to jiu-jitsu, even though I don't really want to. That's the thesis of life, okay? We don't always want to show up and do this goddamn show, but we do it. We don't always want to show up and do things, but we do them because we know they're the right thing, and then we have people that we're responsible for. Unlike the Brown family, the Blackburn family that owns the Cincinnati Bengals, they're sitting there with their thumb in their ass over there at that goddamn country club in Cincinnati, not doing a goddamn thing and probably still sleeping soundly. Even though they got a responsibility to all the people of Cincinnati. That's my rant today. I'm headed out. I love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow. Sorry for the short episode.